Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
All right, we appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. This is the 710 ESPN NFL Draft Special. I'm Alan Sliwa. We got Kirk Morrison right here as well. Kirk, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Alan. Just watching our first ever virtual draft. It does have a fantasy football draft kind of feel to it, but it's actually a real draft. Can you believe that?
But I'll tell you what, Kirk, pretty clean so far.
We've been very clean.
You know what I mean? Like, I know under the circumstances so easily, I was one, and we could just talk about this as we go, we would kind of criticize, okay, why is the NFL doing this? Why are you guys rushing on this one? Just wait like all the other sports are waiting. They took it. This is their own initiative. This was their own vision. And I think so far, I don't feel like there's really been any glitches. And that's not to say something can't happen, but the real winners right now, NFL, fantastic. Jaguars are on the clock right now, and it looks like the pick is coming in as we speak.
At number nine, let's go to the commissioner. Come on, keep it up. With the ninth pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select C.J. Henderson, defensive back, Florida.
All right, so C.J. Henderson, the cornerback out of Florida. By the way, Kirk, so what we'll do here, that's a little bit surprising, right? It looks like they were going to go for a defense or an offensive tackle, but they end up with C.J. Henderson.
No, Kirk, I don't think you did your homework. If you looked at Kirk's mock draft, C.J. Henderson was there. Oh, yeah, at nine. Come on, brother. You got to look
at
your homework.
You had him at nine?
Do your homework. It's all out there. I keep receipts, baby. I keep receipts.
Yeah. All right, well, as these continue, you highlight those receipts as we go. Well, okay, where did you have Tua at?
I had Tua at three, but he was going to the Miami Dolphins. I just thought the Dolphins would trade up to three.
Trade up for him.
But they stayed packed, and they still got Tua at five and still keep all of their draft capital. So, for the most part, the only surprise really for me that I've seen so far is pick number four. I thought that the Giants would go with a linebacker slash safety in Isaiah Simmons. They end up going Andrew Thomas, the tackle out of Georgia. So that kind of threw me for a little loop there. But for the most part, I think we're starting to see the guys who we expect to be, you know, right now in this top 10.
Okay, so just to give everybody an idea, the structure of the 710 ESPN NFL draft special. So as the picks come in, we'll definitely give them to you. We'll give them to you live. Throughout the show, we'll have Mel Kiper has these breakdowns of players. We'll play those as well. And then, you know, Kirk, we'll continue to talk. This is obviously an important day for the Los Angeles Chargers.
Correct.
The Rams, this is going to be key for the next couple of days. They got two picks tomorrow, or actually they'll have a total of four picks tomorrow, second and third round, both tomorrow. The Raiders have two key picks coming up here in just the next couple of picks. They go 12 and I think 19 is their
Correct.
Is their next
yeah.
pick. So mm-hmm. we'll kind of focus on these local teams and go from there. Cleveland. The Cleveland Browns are coming up next here, and we'll just have is the pick in right there, Funches? Here's some stuff in the background there. If they'll okay, pick will be coming here in just a second. So, Kirk, real quick, I want to get your thoughts here. Justin Herbert to the Chargers. What's your thought on that pick?
Well, I think it was a good fit for him. I think that Tom Telesco, their general manager, he's been big on. Justin Herbert, really, I think all offseason, right? I think he was the guy that they kind of figured that he would be the guy. Justin Herbert would kind of be right there for the taking for them. That's the read. There's a reason why they didn't go after Cam Newton, who's a free agent right now. Tyrod Taylor, he's a backup quarterback in the National Football League, and nothing wrong with that. But I think he's also a good bridge quarterback that can help them, move along. A guy like Justin Herbert, he won't sit all season long. They won't fool me on he's going to red shirt. We're going to sit him down. If he has to sit for a whole year, no, that's not what you do. You got a brand new stadium, SoFi Stadium in Inglewood. You got a new quarterback. He is the new face of Los Angeles Chargers football, and I don't see him waiting too much, too long to get his opportunity. But I like the pick. It's just for me, there are some things I want to see with him. Right? I just didn't see I didn't see him elevate his game in 2019. 2018, he has all the intangibles though. Okay, Alan, he's got all the measurables. He's got the height, he's got the weight, he's got the great arm, the physique. He built himself up and, going to Pac-12 Media Days, I remember a lot of the hype around him and He came back for his senior year to really get himself
ready. Let's do this. Just interrupt. Cleveland Browns pick is coming in right now.
Go get him. So I have the Browns pick with the 10th pick in the 2020 NFL draft. The Cleveland Browns select Jedrick Wills, tackle, Alabama. I hope you like it, Fletcher.
All right, Jedrick Wills coming out of Alabama. Keep going with your point, Kirk. I just want to interrupt real quick so we could get that pick in.
No, it's one thing that the quarterbacks, right? We knew that there was going to be, to me, I knew that number one was going to be Joe Burrow. He was the number one guy for me. Then I thought Tua was the next quarterback taken. And then it was like, okay, where's the next guy? And it was going to be Justin Herbert. To me, he still has to prove it to me. There are some things that last year or last season, 2019, you still kind of scratch your head a little bit because I just never saw him elevate. Now, what we could say, the talent that he was working with was not of the caliber of Tua Tagovailoa or a Joe Burrow, right? The LSU and Alabama offense is totally different. So we're going to see. He's got some weapons to work with. Right now, you got Hunter Henry, at the tight end position. We know Keenan Allen, one wide receiver, Mike Williams, at the other position. So you've got guys that you can work with now. And, now it's really up to him. It's up to him to see how does he progress in the Chargers offense. But if they've got the quarterback for the future, they've got what they think can be similar to what Phillip Rivers gave them for so many years.
All right, Jets on the clock right now. They're Jets coming off a 7-9 season. It's interesting because, this is the first time really. When did Phillip Rivers? 2004, yeah, I think, 04. Is when he took over, right?
Correct.
So 16 years for the Chargers. That's been the face of the Chargers for that long. And don't get me wrong, I know LaDainian Thomas and Antonio Gates has been players in between, but he's been the consistent face for a number of years. And here we are, Kirk. This is kind of the I've spent a lot of time, at least over the last couple of weeks, just talking about this. Who's the face of the Chargers? The Chargers already have such an incredible challenge being in a market where they're, listen, it's probably harsh of a word to say irrelevant, but they're kind of irrelevant. They don't have attention. I mean, go look at how many folks were coming and watching games at Dignity Health. We'll see what happens once we get to SoFi Stadium. There's going to be a lot of pressure on this quarterback coming in that I'm not saying he's got to change the entire franchise around. And of course, it's not one person or one player that does it. Did you feel like this is something Mason Ireland were talking about right before we hopped on? They were saying that they wanted the Chargers to be more aggressive, try and trade up, maybe trade up to number three to make sure Tua got to the Chargers. They didn't do that. Do you think that's a mistake, or do you think the Chargers are fine with what they did?
I think they're fine with what they did. I mean, they stayed pat to their draft board, right? Justin Herbert, they felt, was going to be their guy, and he can come in, and he kind of fits the mold of what Phillip Rivers was, right? When you look at kind of like their size comparison, the arm comparison, they look fairly similar. I mean, you look at Justin Herbert, he looks like a younger Phillip Rivers in terms of some of the things that he can add to the game. He's got some great athleticism as well. That may be called upon him to have to get out of the pocket a little bit more, take off and run, keep defenses at bay. So to me, I think that they didn't – I don't know if Tua really fit in with what they had going on. I think when you look at Miami, it's been tank for Tua for 2 years, right? So Miami didn't have to trade any picks. They keep all of their picks. And they grab their quarterback. I think all the teams that drafted quarterbacks are really happy with what they have right now. And now there's the drop-off, right? Now who's the number four quarterback? Is it going to be Jordan Love? Now is it Fromm? I mean, is it Eason? Now who's the next wave of quarterbacks? Because right now teams don't need a quarterback when I look at the rest of this draft.
Tank for Tua. I don't know, Kirk, if you started that one or not, but that's a damn good slogan.
No, that was down in Miami, brother. That was tank for Tua.
Damn good slogan.
Yeah, they was it was tank for Tua. Wait, it was tank for Tua, and it was
Curtis just told me tank of Viola.
Yeah, it was Burrow for Burrow.
You can keep that one.
Yeah, I think it was Burrow for Burrow. I mean, it was a lot going on out there, man. But
all right, let's do this. We're going to go to break real quick. Jets are coming up with their pick, and then the Las Vegas Raiders, followed by the 49ers. We'll get more of Kirk Morrison's thoughts. We'll continue this 710 ESPN NFL Draft special. Stay right here. All right, Alan Sliwa here. Kirk Morrison, 710 ESPN NFL Draft special. NFL draft coverage on 710 ESPN is brought to you by joinlapd.com. Visit joinlapd.com today to learn how you can make a difference in your community in a position that always matters. Okay, so we have the number 11 pick of the draft coming from the New York Jets. Here's Commissioner Roger Goodell. Do we have that pick?
With the 11th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Mekhi Becton, tackle, Louisville.
So the run on receivers is going to have to wait.
All right, Kirk Morrison here. Kirk, so real quick, we're going back to this. Jets take Mekhi Becton out of Louisville. Yeah. You said a little bit earlier, really no surprises. The only surprise you thought was Isaiah Simmons dropping all the way down to 8th. You thought he would go as high as 4, and I think that's what Kiper had. A lot of people had in their mock drafts. The next pick, this one means something on a local level. So what I'm referring to there is the Raiders. Just your thoughts real quick on the Raiders, what you think they're targeting here. Is it a specific position, a player? What do you think the Raiders, the angle the Raiders are taking?
Well, they're going wide receiver. I think with this Mekhi Becton pick by the New York Jets, I had them taking Henry Ruggs, the wide receiver out of Alabama. You know, another weapon for obviously another local tie in USC, former USC quarterback Sam Darnold. But instead of giving him a weapon, they actually got him a protector, which, hey, I don't mind protectors when you're keeping the guy upright. You know what I mean? So the big thing for me is that the Raiders, they're going to go wide receiver. That's easy. They're going to go wide receiver. And to me, the one that really fit for them would be C.D. Lamb. I think that he's the guy that best fits their offense. But
Oklahoma.
Yeah, out of Oklahoma. But they can go with any. I mean, there's going to be a run, I think, over the next three picks in terms of wide receiver. I know the 49ers need a receiver. You know, obviously the Raiders need a receiver. So we're going to see over the next three picks, I think, these three guys, Ruggs from Alabama, Lamb from Oklahoma, and then Jerry Jeudy as well from Alabama.
You know, it's funny because you look at right now, you kind of just, you know, you take a look at all these Las Vegas Raiders. This is where we thought the draft was going to be. But you look at the Raiders and they have 6 picks in total. So 5 picks in the first 2 days, number 12, number 19, tomorrow, they got no picks in the second round. So in round 3, they got pick number 80 and pick number 81. So you said from a wide receiver perspective, how deep is this, by the way? They're saying that the wide receiver class in this draft, is it as deep as, you know, the last few drafts that you've seen? But even if you don't take a wide receiver early and you need a receiver, getting them late is going to be no problem because it's that talented?
Yeah, it's that talented, but no one's going to stick out by themselves, meaning no one's going to stick out. There is no Calvin Johnson in his draft. There is no Julio Jones in his draft. But there's a bunch of good wide receivers where they're all kind of lumped in there together. I think this is where the pick, you know, for the Raiders is going to be one in which they're going to get a solid player who's going to come in and start right away. There's just not that game changer like we've seen in past years. But this is going to be a fun pick, I think, for the Raiders because the group of wide receivers is really lengthy. It's really deep, right? You've waited until the, you know, obviously they've gotten to the teens almost before the first wide receiver is taken. But I can see 3 or 4, possibly 5 being taken over the next 20 some picks.
All right, let's go to Roger Goodell, the Las Vegas Raiders making the pick at number 12.
First evers that are part of this draft, including the first ever official draft selection by the Las Vegas Raiders. And I've got it right here. So with the 12th pick of the 2020 NFL draft, the Las Vegas Raiders select Henry Ruggs, wide receiver, Alabama.
All right, there's the Raiders pick right there. Okay, your quick thoughts here, Kirk.
Yeah, quick thoughts is that Henry Ruggs was available. In my mock draft, I had him going, you know, obviously is another weapon for Sam Darnold and the New York Jets. With Henry Ruggs being available, remember this. Antonio Brown was the Raiders' pick last year, right? They traded for him. They were hoping to be that guy that be their everything wide receiver, take the cap off the top off the defense. Remember, Antonio Brown did not work out. And so what happened? The Raiders are now trying to get that receiver. I think that they do have him in Henry Ruggs. The first receiver taken, like I had in my mock, just I had him going to a different team. But I think his speed is something that you just can't pass up.
All right, we got Mel Kiper with a player profile on Henry Ruggs.
Player profile. Profile with Mel Kiper Jr.
You look at Henry Ruggs III, 5'11", 188-pounder. He's always been a 4.25, 4.27 guy. He's got that ability to be the vertical stretch guy in your offense. But what I think you find, which is a rare quality with Henry Ruggs III, is consistency catching the football. Normally, the speed merchants have drops. He doesn't. Obviously, opposite a possession-type receiver, he will be your guy. You can run that nine route and get down the field and make big plays and create pass interference situations as well, with defensive backs getting blown away by his 4.25 speed.
All right, there's our player profile on Henry Ruggs III. So let's stay, by the way, San Francisco 49ers on the clock, and we'll spend some time, Kirk, talking about the 49ers. Represented the NFC in the Super Bowl last season, obviously in the same division as the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Arizona Cardinals. But just staying real quick with the Raiders, what do you think of their position? What, just in general, I mean, I know there's a lot of Raider fans here in Los Angeles, so I do want to spend a little bit more time on them. They go, 7-9 last year. They won six of their first 10 games, but then to end the season, they lost five of their last six and you know, were out of the picture. What do you think of the position there? And are they that far off in the AFC West, you think?
No, I don't think that they're that far off. It's just, think about the teams that are already there. Currently, you have the Super Bowl champion, okay,
just
Kansas City Chiefs, right? Okay, they're there. We just look at the Chargers, who made the playoffs two seasons ago. Last year, mm-hmm. regressed, and now they draft a quarterback in the top six in Justin Herbert, and they feel like they can be right back where they were. Now, we don't know where Denver's going to be at. They feel like they've got the answer at quarterback right now in Drew Lock, but look, they're a team that's sort of rebuilding on the fly. I think they're going to be better. And then you have the Raiders. I would put the Raiders right now as one of those teams that they can change their fortune very quickly. Two first round picks. And look, we got to look at who's getting the better of this deal, right? Remember, everyone crucified the Raiders right now for their trade of Khalil Mack. But when you look mm-hmm. at the draft capital they got back, how many wins by the Bears and the Raiders in the playoffs? They both have zero, right? And the Raiders actually have more draft capital. They've got more guys that they can put around and get their team better. And right now, the Chicago Bears are still, they don't know if they have a quarterback, whether it's Mitch Trubisky or now the signing of Nick Foles this offseason. So that's why I look at where the Raiders are. They're a glass half full team right now, and they're trying to fill that thing all the way up to the top with one more pick at 19 in the first round.
Well, it almost seems like in the AFC West, you got the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, you know, the Super Bowl champion, and I don't think anybody expects them to regress or anything like that. So I would just say that kind of that number two spot, it seems like it's open in the AFC West, right? I mean, would you be shocked if the Chargers were the second best team in the division? Would you be shocked if it was Denver or Oakland? Do you feel like that's kind of up in the air right now as far as the second best team in the AFC West?
No, I think it's the Raiders right now.
Really?
I think it's the Raiders in mm-hmm. the AFC West. I think so. They've added some pieces, right? And let's not forget, I think we're going to look at the draft, but I'm looking at what they did this offseason. They brought in a lot of talent, right? Remember, they took away, Corey Littleton, the linebacker for the formerly with the Los Angeles Rams. He is now, you know, with the Raiders. So you think about some of those picks that they had in free agency. Mm-hmm. It's a good group of guys now, right? They bring in, remember, Nelson Aguilar as well to go along with Henry Ruggs. They just drafted today, a former USC guy, and Aguilar I just mentioned. Jeff Heath, I mean, they brought in some talent offensively. And let's remember, they also have a tight end by the name of Jason Witten. We've heard of that guy before. Went mm-hmm. to the former Dallas Cowboy. And if things don't work out with the quarterback, right, Derek Carr, if they don't work out, you have Marcus Mariota, former Heisman Trophy winner, formerly of the Tennessee Titans. He is the backup to Derek Carr. You got to look at this Raiders football team and say they got better this offseason. Now they got another piece on the offense. Look, I look at this team as the second best team right now. Or at least we can say number one is the Kansas City Chiefs, and I say 2A and 2B are the Chargers and Raiders right there neck and neck.
All right, let's do this, Kirk. We'll go to a quick break here. When we come back, the San Francisco 49ers are on the clock. Stay right here. This is the 710 ESPN NFL Draft Special. All right, attention business owners. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, many businesses have insurance to cover for their business interruption, but their insurance carriers are wrongfully denying their claims. We've talked about this for the last couple of weeks. I hope it's helpful. Brad Wallace and the Wallace Firm, they feel they can help local businesses out here. They're already doing it. They're stepping up for businesses in our community, and they're already fighting on behalf of schools, gyms, restaurants, bars, doctors, lawyers, and many different industries. If this applies to you, if you're a business owner out there and you just want a free consultation, what Brad Wallace and the Wallace Firm will do, they'll review your insurance policy to see if you are eligible for compensation for operating expenses and or lost revenue. I'll leave you guys with the phone number. It's 844-844-WINS. 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
All right, NFL draft coverage on 710 ESPN is brought to you by joinlapd.com. Visit joinlapd.com today to learn how you can make a difference in your community in a position that always remains essential. So we appreciate joinlapd and their partnership on this special NFL draft. Okay, Kirk, it looks like we got our first trade.
Yeah, our first trade. It took us, 13 picks to finally get a trade, but the San Francisco 49ers, they actually trade back one pick. They actually switch with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And how, kind of a coincidence is this that, the former Tampa Bay Buccaneer, John Lynch, who's the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers, trading with his old team, just one pick. See, the San Francisco 49ers, I think they're going wide receiver. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now, they feel like somebody was going to jump them and grab the tackle. Right now, Tristan Wirfs, one of the best tackles still out there. You're going to help the blind side of Tom Brady. They need help along the offensive line. So I think they get the offensive lineman here.
All right, let's go to Roger Goodell and see who the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take with their pick.
The pick is in. Thank you, Lieutenant Colonel Caldwell. And thank you to all of our service members for your courage and sacrifice on behalf of our country. The San Francisco 49ers have traded the 13th pick to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. With the 13th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Tristan Wirfs, tackle, Iowa.
Kirk, do you have an insider in this draft? I feel like I feel like you know what's going on.
No, this is just my job, man. This is what I do. That's what I love doing. I had him going to Arizona at 8. Now he goes all the way to pick 13 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And think about this. His quarterback now was Tom Brady, right? Think about that. I mean, it's an Iowa kid that when you think about the Iowa program and Kirk Ferentz and the kind of the guys that he, he puts out every single year, that Iowa program, guys like George Kittle, you start to see the type of football players that they produce. And he's a one of those gifted guys. You saw him at the combine, big guy, still ran really well, very explosive. To me, this is a great pick for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't go when I hear offensive linemen, especially the tackle positions, when you have certain guys like this, like you can't pass that up, right? Tom Brady's been looking for offensive line help and wide receiver help, skill position players. This is a good one. And, shout out to, Bruce Arians and what they've been able to do so far this offseason, right? They get Rob Gronkowski to come out of retirement and join Tom Brady.
That's
first
right.
of all, luring Tom Brady to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then you already have a Mike Evans. And you also have a Chris Godwin, and Howard at the tight end position. Look, Ronald Jones could have a huge year. Think about Ronald Jones, former running back at USC. Could this help him out now, having Tom Brady and other players around him that can open up some lanes for him to have a big season at the running back spot. So this is huge for, I think, right now for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
So, Kirk, NFC South, Tampa, and we really don't pay attention to the record because it's virtually a different team, 7-9 last season.
Correct.
Where do you see? I mean, you sound obviously very, very high on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but with the moves they made in the offseason, you like this pick here at number 13. You feel like it's somebody that can kind of come in right away and protect for Tom Brady. What do you think is – I don't know if maybe if the ceiling is the right word, but just where is the Tampa Bay – where are their position now in the NFC South? Are they competing with the Saints?
Yeah, they're competing with the Saints. They're competing – you know, I think right now they're competing with the Carolina Panthers too. I won't put them down. A lot of people are not talking much about them, but they've got Christian McCaffrey. And now you throw in a Teddy Bridgewater. You have to like what you see from them. The Atlanta Falcons, they get a guy by the name of Todd Gurley, former Rams running back, to go along with what they have with Ridley and Julio Jones, along with Matt Ryan at the quarterback spot. Their defense is going to get healthy next year. So I think the NFC South is going to be a good division. It will not be as good as the NFC West, which I think is the best division in all of the NFL. But I think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a playoff team. And I say that also with a caveat for people who have been under a rock and don't really know much. I understand what's going on in our country, but with the COVID-19, but the NFL expanded its playoffs to now 14 teams. It is no longer 12. So now you have an extra team that can make the playoffs. So that's three wild cards available in each conference. That means that there's going to be three wild cards in the NFC. So even if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do not win their division and the Saints, you know, possibly win, they still can be one of three wild card teams. And look, I just, as good as Tom Brady is, if he gets into the dance, if he gets into the playoffs with this kind of roster, yeah, I don't want to play that Tampa Bay Buccaneers team when it comes January.
Well, think about this too, Kirk. You know, just use that as an example, and you're right, because this is big news. If this playoff format applied to 2019 season, Rams get in, right? Pittsburgh gets in, so there are two teams that would have got in. And I think your point, what you're making there about it doesn't matter if they win the NFC South. You think Tom Brady doesn't have enough, you know, obviously playoff experience. You know, it's one of those, like you mentioned, this isn't a seven-game set. This is you get hot at the right time, you could be in the NFC championship game. Like, that's realistic. That's not unrealistic. And I think that's a fair point when you're talking about, you know, just the division in general, but specifically the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just want to get into the dance, right? You want to get into the tournament. You get into the tournament, good things are going to happen. Think about how, I mean, for a team to be the number one overall seed in each conference, they're going to have a hell of a season. I mean, a lot of things are going to have to go your way, Alan. It really is. I mean, you were talking about being healthy throughout. You're talking about, you know, the ball bouncing your way, winning some tough games, winning games that you shouldn't win, and you find a way to do it. That's what these number one seeds are going to be. So I love the wild card aspect of it now, because you mentioned it. Teams are going to get hot at the end. And with the way that things are going, with no offseason program right now for a lot of teams in the NFL, or a virtual offseason program, a lot of these young draft picks, right, Alan, this is something we can get into later on in the broadcast, but a lot of these draft picks, and I go back to my 2011 experience of playing in a lockout season in which, you know, basically there was no offseason program, and it was veterans such as myself that were able to transition really well when the season finally started, right? When training camps opened, when you didn't have abbreviated, you know, those training camps, only a couple preseason games, and hey, we're ready for kickoff. I saw a lot of younger players start to struggle because they didn't get the information as quickly as possible. That could be a situation as well, where you could see teams start slow, then all of a sudden a lot of their first and second year guys start to come along, and then boom, they're playing their best football late December into January.
Kirk, it's kind of funny, because when we were coordinating all this and they mentioned, you know, we'll do the show together, I'm like, I got to see someone like you just getting so excited about the NFL draft. You know what I mean? Like, for you, I'm sure it takes you back to – not only does it take you back to when you came into the league, but just all the games that you play. Like, you could put yourself in these kids' shoes. Like, what – when you go back and you think of your time in the league, what is today? Like, what does today represent for a lot of these players?
Today is just a start. I mean, today is you've made it, okay? But it's just a start. The hard work actually starts now, all right? Anybody can get drafted, and they'll be – I forget. I got to look at the picks. I'm sorry. There's, what, 230? I'll look at how many picks they have in this draft, okay? I'll look at a little bit. And then you'll have a bunch of undrafted free agents who will be selected as well or signed with teams. All right. And then after all that is over, I'll tell you this. This is where the hard part starts. Okay. This is where now you got to make a team, and now you've got to last. And now you've got to make it to a second contract. You got to get that fifth year option. You got to get the new deal. You got to stay, because we look at so many things. And I just throw out some of the things that we've just seen here in Los Angeles since the Rams came in 2016. What happened? They drafted a guy by the name of Jared Goff. Jared Goff is still here. If I told you that someone was going to go first, Jared Goff or Todd Gurley, I think three seasons ago, everybody would have said it would have been Jared Goff. Would not have outlasted Todd Gurley, yet Todd Gurley signs a big deal and now he's gone. This is a league that, trust me, it is what have you done for me lately? And that's the way it's always going to be. And that's my advice for younger players that I always come in contact with, is that what have you done for me lately? Because this league can love you 1 minute and the next minute you could be out the door fairly quickly.
All right, this pick has definitely implications for the Los Angeles Rams. Here's the San Francisco 49ers making their selection at 14.
Where is San Francisco going? With the 14th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Javon Kinlaw, defensive tackle, South Carolina.
All right, let's do this. Kirk, I want to get your reaction next to this pick from the San Francisco 49ers. Stay right here. We appreciate everybody tuning in. We appreciate LAPD's partnership on our NFL draft coverage. This is the 710 ESPN NFL Draft Special. All right, this is the 710 ESPN NFL Draft Special. With the number 14 pick, Javon Kinlaw out of South Carolina goes to the San Francisco 49ers. Here's Mel Kiper on a player profile.
Player profile with Mel Kiper Jr.
Like Javon Kinlaw, the second best defensive tackle all along to Derrick Brown, but there wasn't a whole heck of a lot separating the two except consistency week in and week out. Kinlaw checks in at 6'5", 324 pounds. Gifted athlete. Boy, this guy, when he's on his game, is unblockable. I think from a talent standpoint, your team's going to be really bowled over by that. They're going to say, we can take this guy, we can make him into every bit as good as any defensive tackle in the National Football League. His ceiling, his upside is through the roof. And like I said, there's not a lot separating him from Derrick Brown except week-to-week consistency.
That's a big boy, Kirk.
Yeah, that's a big guy.
6'5", 324 out of South Carolina. What do you think of his fit in San Francisco?
No, it's the perfect fit, right? Remember, they traded away DeForest Buckner. They gained another first-round pick. How about that? Can you believe that? That's what this pick was. This was the Indianapolis Colts pick, okay? And the Indianapolis Colts, they went and traded, you know, for – you know, DeForest Buckner, and they paid him a big contract too. He was up. So this is how teams get better in the National Football League. They address their needs and they understand that there's going to be addition by subtraction. They're going to make some tough decisions. The 49ers did not want to trade away DeForest Buckner. He was a piece of their defensive line, right? That got to the quarterback, that helped them get to a Super Bowl against the Chiefs. But you had to make some tough decisions, and that tough decision was trading him away. They trade DeForest Buckner, and now they don't have to pay that big giant contract because they're still going to have to pay a bunch of other guys along that offense. They still got to pay some George Kittles, you know, and those types of players. Nick Bosa is going to get a contract in a couple of years. So you kind of balance your checkbook as well and you look toward the future. But Javon Kinlaw, he works there, right? He works. He fits in the spot where that was vacated by the trade. And now the 49ers got another guy that they can, you know, get a nice little rookie salary, but won't handicap them as much for the next 4 years. So it's a great job again. John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, just showing you how to build a roster. The way that they built this roster over the last couple of years, it's been D-line, offensive line, D-lineman. Look, last year they drafted, you know, remember Nick Bosa. Then the year before that, I believe it was us with Solomon Thomas, and then Armstead before that, and then Buckner. They're showing you how to draft in the National Football League. You got to get it done up front.
Kirk, I want to stay with the 49ers, but let's do this real quick. The Denver Broncos at number 15 pick is coming in as we speak.
With the 15th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos select Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver, Alabama. Congratulations, Jerry.
Okay, so we said, Kirk, and it's one of the things you referenced. I know it's been the theme. It will be the theme of this draft. Very, very deep in wide receivers. Your thoughts on Jerry Jeudy, and then we'll go back to the 49ers, because I just want to, you know, stay on the division for a second. But what's your thoughts on the number 15 pick for the Broncos?
I mean, I thought he was the best receiver on Alabama last year. He is everything. He's an outside guy. He's an inside guy. Just get him the football, whether it's the screen passes, whether it's, you know, underneath routes, whether it's him running over the top of the defense. He did all of that. He's a special, special football player. And look, it takes a long time for wide receivers to start coming off the board. I knew Ruggs would go first just because of the speed. I mean, you just can't teach that, right? 4-2. And look, the Raiders drafted a guy who ran a 4-2. I'm not surprised. But Jerry Jeudy, I had, was a guy who I thought would be the third receiver taken. He ends up being the second receiver. And that's something that John Elway, right, the president of operations, right, vice president of football operations with the Denver Broncos, he needed a weapon, right? He wants to line that up, you know, right now next to Cortland Sutton, the wide receiver, outstanding kid. They got out of SMU a couple years ago, made a Pro Bowl, and now you can give another weapon to your young quarterback in Drew Lock. I think this works well right now for the Denver Broncos and what John Elway is trying to build. They got the running back. Remember what they did this offseason? They grabbed Melvin Gordon, stole him away from the Chargers, okay? So they now bring him, you know, over here to Denver. So now you've got a nice little, you know, duo between Philip Lindsay, Melvin Gordon, you add in Jerry Jeudy, you've got Cortland Sutton, and then you have your tight end situation back up. I mean, this looks to be a pretty, pretty good football team starting to make its stride. I'm not saying that they're going to overtake the Raiders. They're not going to overtake, I think, the Los Angeles Chargers, but man, they're going to be a tough out.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, you were mentioning a little bit earlier on the division that you thought Raiders probably the second best team in the division. Chargers, and I know we talked about this, you know, what was it, over a month ago or so when you were in studio. I feel like there's been a lot of conversation about the Chargers where their 5-11 performance probably doesn't, it's probably not a good representation. They were 12-4 the season prior, right? So probably not a great representation of how good they potentially could be, but it sounds like you also got some excitement for the Denver Broncos. So maybe that AFC West is going to be tougher than most people thought, you know, by the time this season ended.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. I'm just watching the way the season's kind of going to start right now. I'm happy where the season is for a lot of teams right now, Alan, but as I'm starting to look, there's some teams that we've only had one trade so far. So, you know, we had about five or six trades in some people's mock drafts. And right now, I did hear from a GM, not GM, a football insider who was just like, there's a lot of people who are going to stay pat to their board. A lot of people are just searching. I mean, that's just the media speculation. Right now, there's a lot of people who aren't falling, who aren't doing. This is just the way that teams are viewing the draft right now. And some teams are putting value to their board, which is, for the most part, a smooth draft so far.
Kirk, you think some of this has to do with the circumstances or no? And what I mean by that is just, you know, you got everybody. This is a virtual draft. Nobody's in front of everybody. People are in the commissioner of the NFL is in his basement. Right. And is it because it might be a complicated mat, maybe more complicated than it typically would be? Or you think that has nothing to do with it?
No, I think that when you really look at it, this offseason didn't allow you to second guess what your first instincts were. Right. You didn't have a lot of that information. You had a ton of information, but you didn't have the extra time to visit with players or to work them out privately. Or, you know what, man, I didn't like his finish on this. Or, you know, when he came in, I didn't like what he had on. I mean, it's just you didn't have time to second guess yourself. You went with it. Right. We've all sat down at a restaurant and they give you the menu and you're like, all right, the first thing that you saw, you're like, I'm going
to
go to
page two. Yeah, don't go to page two.
I'm just going
to
go with this. And all of a sudden, you start digging a little bit deeper, and the person across from you say, oh, well, what about the specials? And now you're like, wait, now let me hear the specials again. But you know what you wanted.
That's a great analogy.
Right? You know what you wanted from the beginning. And I think that's where this draft has really been, is when you saw something and you liked it, you ordered it. And you're not going back and trying to say, well, I really want to try this. No, you go with what you really liked, and that's what this draft has been so far.
Yeah, it is. By the way, the Atlanta Falcons are on the clock. They got the number 16 pick. After that, the Cowboys, the Dolphins, and then Raiders will get their second pick in the first round.
I did get that number for you. I knew it's always somewhere in the 240s. This year's draft, 255 selections, right? So right now we're on pick 16, like you mentioned, with the Atlanta Falcons. 255 total picks in this draft.
Okay, so the Atlanta Falcons at number 16. Pick is in right now. Here's the commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell. We got that there? Okay, we'll go back to the pick in a second. We had Kirk. This is our first virtual. You know what I mean? So
it's
Think about this. It is kind of. I spent a lot of time leading up to this draft, right? Kind of questioning how are they going to do this. Did you like the idea? Were you fully in support? Because there was a lot of criticism too going to the NFL saying everybody else is holding back on things. Why aren't you guys holding back? It ended up, in my opinion now, kind of looking at it in these last couple of days leading up, I'm like, the NFL, this was the right decision. Did you feel the same way this entire way?
Yeah, I think for a lot of people who got a chance to take a glimpse at the WNBA draft they had last week, you saw how it can work, mm-hmm. right? And you saw how they did theirs, and it was very smooth, right? You're able to have all of the same, you know, feel of the moment, right? You saw, you know, live interaction, you know, the live action, live emotions, and I thought that they took from that and they built on it, and this draft so far has done everything. I mean, honestly, how do we do, you know, I laugh about it, but how do we do our fantasy drafts? Right, we do fantasy drafts pretty much the same way, right?
We're all exactly the same way.
Working, you know, trades are proposed, and so you can do it, but it didn't have the same luster of going to the show, right? Of going to the theater to be the first to mm-hmm. watch, you know, the new X-Men movie or the new Marvel movie, right? This time they just said, "Hey, everybody, go to your device and download it, and you can watch it from your own home." And I think that's why this rating is probably going to be a huge rating because everybody's
sitting down. Oh, it's going to kill it.
And the one thing is that things haven't been tipped as well, meaning that everything that's happened so far in terms of the mm-hmm. picks, everybody's finding it out live. There is mm-hmm. no, oh, my God, we see somebody walking up and you've got people tweeting that, oh, this guy's walking up to the stage. He's about to get selected. We have no idea who's being selected. We're just on the tip or edge of our seats on every pick. And that's why I think that this draft so far is working and it's only going to get better from here. But right now, you've got to be excited so far that the draft is starting to get into that area right now, Alan, where you don't know what's going to happen. I think you can kind of predict in the top 10, you know, there may be a surprise or two. But now, you know, as the Falcons pick is in, now you got the Dallas Cowboys pick is coming up as well.
Yep.
So you've got some more interest there in America's team. And it's been fun so far because we don't have any leaks, right? There's been nobody, you know, tipping the picks, which has been fun.
Okay, let's do this. Atlanta Falcons pick coming up next, then the Cowboys, the Dolphins, then the Raiders again. Stay right here. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. This is 710 ESPN NFL Draft Special. All right, NFL Draft coverage on 710 ESPN is brought to you by JoinLAPD.com. Visit JoinLAPD.com today to learn how you can make a difference in your community in a position that's always remains essential. We appreciate LAPD and their partnership. All right, with the number 16 of the draft, let's go to Roger Goodell. This is the Atlanta Falcons making their selection.
With the 16th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Atlanta Falcons select A.J. Terrell, defensive back, Clemson.
All right, that is the Atlanta Falcons pick. The Cowboys pick will be coming here shortly, so we'll get you on that one. The Dallas Cowboys, Kirk Morrison. The Dallas Cowboys. What? By the way, you know, I remember there's one game that stands out to me most last season. It was the game Rams in Dallas. Rams needed the game. And by the way, so did the Cowboys. We thought the Rams would step up. This is a big time moment. We thought they'd do something. They laid an egg, and Cowboys took complete advantage of the Los Angeles Rams. How do you feel the Cowboys coming into this upcoming season? Just their position in general. How do you feel like they look?
I think just the Cowboys right now. The biggest concern is just the contract for Dak Prescott. That's going to be something that hangs over the head of I think the Dallas Cowboys all offseason. But when you think about what they've done so far, they signed Zeke to the big contract last year. Then they signed, obviously, Amari Cooper to the contract this year. The offensive line, they're going to have to figure something out with the retiring of Travis Fredericks and at center. So now you have to figure that offensive line part out. Defensively, they're going to have some guys coming back. We know trying to get reinstated are one Alden Smith along with Randy Gregory. Does that give them a boost on the defensive front? Defensively, their linebackers are well. They let Byron Jones go to Miami because they felt like they've been drafting well. They've got some guys who they think are going to step up at the cornerback position. And so that's why I think that they probably draft right now a safety or a corner, and we'll see what the Dallas Cowboys draft, even though I kind of know where they're leaning towards. And for Jerry Jones, I just think that this draft right now, some teams are sitting in a position where some players that they did not think were going to be available are available, and it's just too much of a value for them not to pick these players.
All right, let's go to Roger Goodell. We'll see what Jerry Jones has done. Number 17 pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Dallas Cowboys.
With the 17th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Dallas Cowboys select C.D. Lamb, wide receiver, Oklahoma.
All right, let's go to Mel Kiper on his player profile of C.D. Lamb.
Mel Kiper Jr.'s player profile.
I call him CDYAC because yards after the catch is his forte. Think about a kid 6'1 and a half, almost 200 pounds, legit 4.5 speed. People say, well, he's not that fast. 4.5 is fast enough, more than fast enough. He's a good athlete and he's tough. He uses that stiff arm after the catch. Trying to get him down is really difficult for cornerbacks. And you think about the versatility. 50% of his production came inside, 50% came outside. So he gives you that dual versatility, slot or wide for C.D. Lamb. Should make him one heck of a player in the NFL.
So, Kirk, something that I kind of find fascinating, I'm kind of similar to the way you are in the NFL draft. I'm always fascinated with the NBA draft, and I'm always curious just kind of the mind games that goes into it. You mentioned something before the pick, and I think you obviously called it on the dot here. Sometimes whatever you had on your draft board, you got to put the papers away because there could be somebody that's extremely talented that's still left. Is that the position that the Cowboys were in with CeeDee Lamb?
Yeah, that's what they're in. I mean, because I thought they were going to go safety or corner. I thought Grant Delpit was a guy at LSU that they could have brought in, or Kalavon Chaisson. He's still out there, an edge rusher that can give that to the Dallas Cowboys. It did not happen. And they go out and they draft CeeDee Lamb. And think about it. Jerry Jones has spent many a day watching Oklahoma play inside of Jerry's world, right?
Remember? That's right.
The conference championship, the Big 12. And he's been seeing that guy wearing number 2 running up and down the field. And so for me, I mean, it's just a pick. I don't think that the Cowboys necessarily needed him, though, Alan. Think about this. They've got Amari Cooper. I love Michael Gallup right now at wide receiver. And they went out and got another guy. So they've, to me, a strong 1-2-3 punch. They're giving Dak Prescott everything. So if you're going to do that, you got to reward Dak Prescott. Give him the contract. Or does this also mean that, hey, we've given you weapons, all right? You got Blake Jarwin's going to be at the tight end. You got Zeke. There is no excuse now.
Sure.
There, I mean, it is Cowboys playoff, conference championship, Super Bowl, or bust. Okay, because I don't know what you're going to do. And you would think that they've come to an agreement with a contract for Dak Prescott. But, man, I think it may be a wait-and-see approach. Mike McCarthy, new head coach, his first year, is Dak really his guy? Could they be in the quarterback market next year? This pick, to me, was one that you would say, okay, solid for the Cowboys. But to me, it only just further, for me, speculates on is Dak Prescott part of the future of the Dallas Cowboys franchise with a new head coach in Mike McCarthy?
Yeah, I guess that's you better make it happen, right? Because when you point it out like that, you listen to all the weapons that you just that you threw out there, and then you're adding this receiver. By the way, what is that balance? I mean, if you're the Cowboys, like you just said, you didn't feel like they needed a wide receiver, but is this something you just have to do? I'll use this as an example. In the NBA, if you have a shooting guard, are you going to draft another shooting guard? Just using it as an example, if you have a couple younger players or whatever the case is.
I always go back and look. I live in Los Angeles. My son is growing up a Los Angeles Lakers fan. I'll give him that. So I watched a ton of Lakers basketball, but Alan, you know me. I grew up in Oakland, born and raised.
That's right.
So,
yep.
You know, I follow the Warriors, right? And I remember the Warriors draft when they got Steph Curry. People forget that the Minnesota Timberwolves drafted Ricky Rubio and John Flynn, right? Remember?
I do remember. Didn't they have two top six picks or seven picks or something like that? Yeah.
And they drafted two point guards. And they got them both wrong, right? Well, Ricky Rubio has been okay. I'll give him okay. They got them both wrong.
Phenomenal. Don't worry. Okay. You were good.
They got them both wrong, right? And the Warriors just get Steph Curry. And obviously, no one thought that Steph Curry was going to be the what he is now. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, sometimes, you know, it's just you're trying to do too much. And I don't know if this is a situation where the Cowboys are doing too much or they're just trying to save face that, hey, if Dak doesn't work out this year, the next quarterback that's going to come in is going to have a ton of weapons to work with.
So how many receivers do we have now that have been selected? Is that
three? That's our three wide receivers. Those are the three. Those are my top three. They didn't go in the order that I thought, but they all went. So those are the top three, and now we'll start to see what happens now. Who's going to be the next wide receiver? Remember, the quarterback market went real cold, right?
Mm-hmm.
It went real cold. But there's some teams later in the first round that may take a flyer on a quarterback similar to what the Baltimore Ravens did a couple years ago. Try to sneak into the backside of the first round, grab a quarterback. That way you've got some time to see if you can get them to that fifth-year option, right? You have a quarterback that if they play well, you can control them for a while before you have to pay the big money unless they outplay the contract. Similar to what we've seen from a Deshaun Watson and obviously from a Patrick Mahomes that's going to break the bank whenever Kansas City Chiefs allow him to.
So the next quarterback, is it Jordan Love? When another quarterback is selected, is it going to be Jordan Love?
I think so. A lot of people are saying that, but I don't know what the NFL insider circles are saying. Right? I've done three Jordan Love games this year for Utah State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for ESPN College Football. And look, I think he's a good player. He's got a ton to work with. Got a lot of intangibles. But at the end of the day, there are some things that he does. The inconsistencies, I just can't. I don't like that. I don't like the inconsistencies. And when you're inconsistent in the National Football League, we've seen it. You won't be playing anymore. And I say that with a stern voice, because you look at a guy like Jameis Winston, right? Inconsistent. You can't throw for 5,000 yards, 30-plus touchdowns, and on the other side of that, throw 30-plus interceptions. You still can get beat in the league with that type of play. So that's, you know, similar to where I kind of feel it's at. You know, right now with Jordan Love, is what kind of player are you getting? Are you getting the 2018 Jordan Love at Utah State, or are you getting the 2019 Jordan Love at Utah State, which, trust me, was a totally different football player and one that which raised a ton of eyebrows.
All right, the number 18 pick in the draft is going to the Miami Dolphins. Here is Commissioner Roger Goodell.
The pick is in. Let's see if they do go up front.
We got good news for Tua here. We got good news for Tua. With the 18th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Miami Dolphins select Austin Jackson, tackle, USC.
You know what just happened?
All right, so Austin Jackson goes at number 18. Next on the clock is the Las Vegas Raiders. So this will be their second pick of the first round of the draft. We'll grab that coming up next. Stay right here. This is a 710 ESPN NFL Draft Special. I'm Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison on the broadcast as well.